Hello and welcome to another episode of the Running Gingerly podcast. We are back to full strength this week. Kev is back with us after your holiday in the very glamorous surroundings of Barbados for the last 10 or so days. Welcome back.
I managed to not get too sunburnt, so that is always good. Used, I think, 2 full bottles of Factor 50 to survive.
Excellent. But,
it's always good. Always a bonus.
And that was a well-earned rest after your run out at the Irish Trail Championships, which was the Morris Mullins race back in our local Dublin and Wicklow Mountains. So we'll come on to that. But nice timing to go on holiday straight after a race and have a bit of R&R, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was. It all fell into a place. Last year, I was doing the race, and it was in my half-term holidays, and I had to take the holiday before the race. That sounds like I live a terrible life, but I had the holiday before the race, which means you can't quite enjoy it as much. Whereas post-race, I very much enjoyed not doing a lot, having a few rumps and cokes, and I don't know. Did I send you the picture of me and my giant ice cream, giant milkshake?
No, I don't think I saw your giant milkshake, but
we can put that on Instagram. But there's very good chocolate milkshake covered in chocolate and Nutella and everything. Very, very tasty, but not great nutrition.
If you're pre-race. Yeah. It's funny because that's actually quite a difficult one. I'm trying to think now. Like when we talked about the episode, when we were talking about my DNF, part of that was because I had holiday straight after, as in the immediate next morning's not a good idea. I think I was saying it was playing on my mind. But then, like you, I remember having a holiday before North Downs Way 100 down in Devon, I think I was. Yeah, like that. You're just a bit like, oh, I don't know if I should eat all the ice creams. Or it's quite hard to get that balance right. I remember I had a really good holiday in Wales after our first TDS, and that felt nice. I remember trying to keep up with our kids who were probably like 2 and 4 at the time, and I couldn't even keep up with them on the hikes. I was so shattered still. But I think probably in hindsight, I think after is better. I think you can enjoy it more as long as you've not had an absolute stinker of a race or something.
It is definitely good to give if it's a long race or a race like where you've missed a night's sleep or so. I think it's good to maybe wait a day before going on holidays, because otherwise you are very tired. And I did pre-warn my wife before we go, because we're then going to be flying from Ireland across the Atlantic. I was like, please be gentle with me for the first day or two, because I may be a bit grumpy because I've run this race and then I'll be tired from the flight. So
maybe
give me a day's grace before.
And you don't want a long flight, because then I'd imagine if you stand up on the other side of the Atlantic, your legs are just completely seized up. That's probably not great in terms of active recovery and keeping yourself moving. Did you go for any runs in Barbados, or was it purely relaxed? Did you manage to sweat out any of that milkshake or ice cream or rum and cokes?
I did go for one run there, mainly because there was one day where we were staying around a bit more, and I wanted to go out because it was about 10 days and I just wanted to get out and take some exercise. I think it also helps with the adjusting the time thing, but mainly because I wanted to see if I could get any Strava segments in Barbados. I managed to steal 3, which was good. I'm sure I looked like an idiot. Well, I think I always looked like an idiot, but particularly when chasing segments. But I was like, came out the door, sprint for about a mile, and then sort of stop, keep half dying in the heat and sweating, and move off at a sort of 15-minute mile pace, a much more sedate pace, and then run for a bit and then find another steep hill where there's a segment and try and sprint up that. I managed to steal 3, so I was pretty pleased. But
are you now the local legend of Bridgetown? Is that the
Well, we'll see how long those segments last, because But one of them was not many people, so I've good hopes that might last a bit.
Oh, very good, very good. But while you were sunning yourself in Barbados on the beach and a relaxing run, it was also half term here, so me and the kids and everyone, we all went down to near Hay on Wye, near the English Welsh border. Which that wasn't great, but it did mean I was right on the edge of kind of like Offa's Dyke, the Brecon's Beacons. So I managed to kind of escape most days for a little hour or so. Nice. Had some nice, I did some good hill reps up and down something called Hay Bluff, which was a good. I mean, it's kind of more than a hill, it's a mountain, you know, I guess. It's a mountain. So last week I managed to get in a bit more vert than I usually would, which was nice. It was exceptionally muddy though. And there was a couple of descents, which are, you know, when it's like, if it's thick mud, it's not too bad because you can actually grip. But you know, when it's like that thin grass, but like with a layer of mud under, and it's just like ice. So
yes.
A few of those sections that were pretty ropey coming down, I have to say. So I did get filthy most days. My favorite moment was like after doing the hill reps up and down Hay Bluff, I was just in the car park at the bottom getting changed, and there was like an old Welsh fella there with his two sheepdogs. He was going out for a walk, and he was just kind of at the car next to me. He had a van next to me, and I was just getting changed, putting on a warm top and stuff afterwards before I drive back, and he hadn't even said hello or anything. Just I was putting on my clean trainers, I was taking off my socks and stuff. He just went, "I wouldn't bother keeping that sock if I was you." I was like, all right. So I think that shows the state I was in, but anyway,
Socks where you're thinking, I think they might have been white originally, but they could have been
they're disgraced. But I think I had quite a good week, which was nice. I did, because I traveled down and traveled back, I didn't manage to manage my six runs a week. I had to skip one on, I think I skipped one on Monday and one on Friday, but then I did run for a bit longer the other day. So all in all, I think it was all right. And then I'm hoping to have a good big week this week, big week next week, and then start to taper towards UTS. It's about a month away now. So yeah, getting a bit excited about that. Looking forward to it. Starting to look at timings, what I might, setting some goals.
Nice.
But yeah, so I've started my double days this week. I'll do the same next week as well. So within my 6 days, I'm trying to do two double days in there. So I'll run in the morning and the evening, or morning and lunchtime or something.
What's your hourly, how many hours are you doing a week with the double days?
Oh, like they're both under an hour, both runs. So they're not long. So it just ups the mileage a little bit. And I think that thing of getting your body ready to run at all times and running tired, and I think it helps in terms of building endurance without having to do mad long 4, 5, 6 hour runs. I think actually just doing two short ones within a day, your body feels fatigued from it, and I think that's I think it's quite good. I don't know if there's any science to it, but so that's my plan for the next couple of weeks, which is hopefully I can survive. Already I feel like my immune system's a little bit low. Can't seem to shake off a cold I've had for a little bit, but it's one of those ones where it's not bad enough that I would stop running, but it's annoying and you're thinking, well, maybe I should just take a day off just to let it get better, but it's not bad enough to warrant doing that. So I'm just kind of in a holding pattern of feeling a bit ropey, but not enough to stop doing it. And so
I wonder if you're a bit like me. I wouldn't say I'm a worrier, but I often have these, well, I guess they are worries, but they're not very serious. But you have these debates where you're like, oh, well, if I go for a run, then I might get sick. And then if I don't go for the run, I feel, oh, well, I'm getting unfit. And then you start worrying. If I'm not worrying about something, I'm worrying about something else and thinking, oh, well, maybe these are the wrong shoes for the race, or maybe I need to do more of this or that. And ultimately, I think a lot of it probably doesn't matter whether you do take one day off or not, but it's, once you allow yourself to take one day off, you think, oh, maybe it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. I mean, I am definitely like that and in that mindset. One thing that's changed for me in the last couple of months is that I'm kind of working on my own plan now. I was working with a coach for a while. I think we spoke about that in a couple, and actually I found that to be good in a way, as in to give myself a little bit of freedom back again to not to miss a session, but to maybe change a session or adjust it based on how I feel. And I think I've become quite a slave to training peaks, I would say, over the past couple, and really lent on it a lot. So I wasn't taking responsibility, which I think, you should always take responsibility. And whether you're working with a coach or not a coach, because you can always push back to the coach and say, actually, I want to change this session. I don't feel great today. But actually, when it's your own plan and you can adjust it yourself and you're only accountable to yourself, I do think that gives you a bit more freedom. And so, like last week, as I said, I took a day off, and just because I travel and with the kids and whatever else. So, yeah, so that's been good. That's been good. But that's one I think we said we'd like to talk on another episode at some point around the benefits and or not of coaching. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing. You could, when, well, we'll come on to it when we talk about coaching, but as to by sort of being the answerable to a coach, it has positive things, but it also has a negative things, like you were saying. So, something I've been thinking about as well. But we'll leave that for our an actual episode on coaches and whether you should have a coach and whatnot.
So I want to, we have obviously have to ask you in, well, not the last episode that went out because you were away. So we had a pre-recorded one on your recovery, but the one before that, obviously, I'd just done my 100 hills and we were looking forward to your run out at the Maurice Mullins race in Wicklow, which you had a couple of weeks ago. So that is also the Irish Trail Championships that they run every year. It's a race in kind of, I think it starts in the Dublin Mountains. It does venture into Wicklow Mountains, does it? I think it does. And then, or is it just Dublin Mountains?
I think it, well, I think Jouse is, it's Wicklow. I don't know if it actually makes it into the Dublin Mountains because
Okay.
it goes to Crone, so sort of like Glencree. I think it's still in the, it's still in Wicklow. It's all in Wicklow,
Okay.
so.
So yeah, there was, do you wanna, yeah, it was a, you were doing a 50, it was a 50K race this year, wasn't it? Which is different to, you also ran
50K.
it last year.
Yes, I ran, so it was last year I ran 80K, this year I ran 50K. So the, but it's because it's a qualifier for the Irish Trail team, it depends what international races are happening. So last year there was the World Trail Championships, and the World Trail Championships have an 80K race and a 50K race. So last year they ran a 50K race and an 80K race. This year, no World Championships, but there's a European Championships, but that only has a 50K race. So they ran the 50K race, and that's what I did. It is actually a race that we ran way back in 2012 when we
Yeah,
did
I remember.
our 12, 12 ultras of 2012.
I do
Though
remember
they've
running it,
changed the
yeah.
course slightly.
Yeah, and it's kind of an out and back, isn't it? Which is
Out and
good
back.
and bad. It's good. I mean, I remember when we did it, we weren't really racing. I would imagine if you are doing it like you have done the last couple of years and you're racing, the out and back format's quite good because you can get a little eye as to where you are in the field. And as you t when you make that turn and you start heading back, you can see who's chasing you down and where people are a little bit. And equally, I guess when you were on the way out, you could see the leaders come back and get an under, get an idea of where you are in the field.
You can do, and that has its benefits and downsides, depending on whether you're encouraged or disheartened by how far ahead the leaders are. If you they're not that far away, it's great. If they're miles ahead, very disheartening.
So
You'd
how was
prefer
it
that.
for
Last year quite disheartening. This year better, and that's probably how, as a general summary of the race.
But I mean, you actually you placed a similar position. I mean, last year I thought it was a pretty good result. You've placed in about a similar position this year, but you feel it was better. You had a better run out this year.
Yes, I think this year was, it's hard to tell because they're different distances. And even the 50K last year was a different course. They added in an extra mountain this year to make it more to get more elevation, but I feel this was more competitive.
I guess if there's only one race, then yeah, both the long people and the fast people go into that one race this time.
Yes, I think this year there was about 400 people running it. I think there was about maybe 300 men and about 100 women, something like that, maybe 250, 150. And last year I'd say there was about 100 men, so there was less people running the 80K. So I feel it was more competitive. And also I think there's probably something about less people wanting to run 80K in the Wicklow Mountains than wanting to run 50K. Yeah. Weather's not always great, and it's better to be out for 50K than 80K. So I feel it was more competitive. I think internally I felt better. Last year I was carrying an injury, and that while it wasn't a bad injury and I still could run, it felt I was limited. And I feel so much of the race, I think I said it in the last time, does depend on how you feel. And I felt bad last year for most of it. I felt I was suffering and I wasn't that pleased. Whereas this time, yes, you're still generally suffering in the running 50K, but I did feel much better all the way through. I had a bit of a niggle coming up to the race, but it was fine during the race. And yeah, the legs held up well in terms of injury, and there was no vomiting or anything like that. It was generally pretty good.
So how did the race go? Talk us through kind of start to finish. I'm guessing it was a pretty quick off the start, given it's 50K again, a bit like I was saying with 100 hills, and they're shorter distances than we normally run. So I'm guessing it was a pretty pacey start.
Yeah, I feel there needs to be a bit of background first. So aside from it being 50K and running up and down the mountains, it's in the Wicklow Mountains and the weather's not great. So there was in the sign up when we had to register, there was a queue. And as we were queuing up for that, it was quite a long queue because there was lots of people there. We had about 45 minutes of hailstones and snow, so that was pretty wet and cold at the start. Queuing up, I was in all my running gear plus like a hoodie and tracksuit and a jacket, just doing that queue up, and it was still pretty cold. So I reevaluated my kit choice before I went off and went for thin Under Armour t-shirt jacket. Irish people are tougher than Swiss people, I think, or at least ones who live in Wicklow, because there were a few people going out in vests.
Really?
I am not tough enough to do a vest. But I guess they were running faster. The start was a bit delayed, partly because of the weather and the queues, but I stayed in the car to stay warm probably a bit too long. So I ended up, instead of starting like at the front, I was probably, I don't know, about 50 back. So it went off, and yeah, it went off quite quick. I tried to just ease into it, so I took it fairly easy. I wasn't too pushing it too far at all, too hard at all. You've got about 10K or so. You do a sort of out and back, which is relatively flat. Yeah, relatively flat. And then you head up Jouse, which is the first mountain. So the relatively flat bit, everyone was bombing it along.
Finding their place, yeah. And I guess you were moving finding through and settling down a bit, yeah.
I was beginning to overheat, and various people around me were taking off jackets and stuff. And I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do it yet, because I know we're going up Jouse soon. We were sort of out and back in Ballinasloe Woods. And as soon as we started going up Jouse and we were in the wind, everyone around me started putting back on their jackets and gloves and hats. So I was feeling a bit smug at that stage. I'm not sure exactly of the temperature at the top of Jouse. It's not a hot, like a high mountain, but the wind was awful. So the weather forecast beforehand was saying it was going to be
snow, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was covered in snow. The weather forecast was saying -2 degrees or something at the top with -9 wind chill. And it definitely felt like that. And it was bitterly cold. And you have to run along a boardwalk. And with the wind howling across the boardwalk, various people ahead of me or behind me were getting blown off the boardwalk into the bog, which was quite funny for anyone who didn't get blown off. For I managed to stay on the boardwalk, but it was quite, quite mad. And then we reached the top of Jouse, and just as I reached the top of Jouse, so we're now running in snow, and the whole place is covered in snow, the sun briefly came out, and then I was trying to descend, and I felt like snow blindness because of all the reflection from the snow, so that wasn't very helpful either at all.
And I gather you took your customary tumble at some point. Was that up or down? Was that on a descent after later on, or...?
That was a descent off Jouse, actually. So yeah. After we got through, well, shortly after that, after we got through the snow, we came on the sort of gravelly descent, and I was fine there. I could bomb down on that. That's a bit more my terrain. And then we hit what you were talking about earlier, that really thin grass with the mud directly underneath. Yeah. And you probably remember the slope. It's one that you've run, and I think...
when we all went together, when we brought a load of people over from the UK and did that race, and everyone was falling.
I was running down there, and there was a guy about 10 meters in front of me, and he went up in the air, splat down on his arse at exactly the same time as I did. We were identical. It was like we'd been shot at the same time. And then I got back up again, ran sort of alongside him, made a little joke about falling over. And then I went splat again, which was not good. And the second time was I don't know if it was worse or funnier, but I went properly up and all the way back and sort of landed on my arse/back and then sort of turtled down the slope. So I didn't just fall and stop. I just slid down on my back. For quite some way before managing to stop my slide and get back up again.
No injuries, just comedy falls more than anything else.
Yeah, for me, I did slice open my hand a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. I didn't really notice I was bleeding for a while, and it was only a sort of a centimetre or two. I know there was one or two people did fall and injure themselves or twist ankles, but for me, it was just a comedy fall, though I was totally covered in mud. Every part of me was, and I, you know, if you're running hard and you want to wipe your eyes or your mouth,
and you just can't because everything's covered.
Everything
in mud.
Was covered. My gloves were just covered in mud. My jacket sleeves covered in mud. My shorts were covered in mud. Absolutely. Yeah. So I ended up having to take my gloves off because they were soaking wet because it's that wet. Mud as well, so they're soaking wet, and they just carried them for the rest of it because they were just going to get my hands cold. And then at least I had vaguely clean hands to like take things out to eat or something like that.
Yeah. And how did it go? I mean, because from again, this race there wasn't really a tracker I could follow, but from the bits I was getting and the updates I was getting, it seemed once you kind of, you know, you said you started kind of a bit further back and then worked your way through a little bit on the flat section and probably by the top of Jouse, everything had settled down. But then it didn't seem like you made a big move forward or back. You kind of seemed to find a position and pretty relatively stay in that position for most of the race. There didn't seem to be a huge amount of overtaking or being overtaken. Is that?
I think that's that's probably relatively true. It's hard. I think once we hit the bottom of Jouse, then you go up and down Crone. And no, I didn't make from there till the turnaround point. I had one or two people overtake me, one or two people I overtook. And so you sort of did a back and forth. But I was probably running about, I don't know, about 20th. Maybe a bit higher, maybe 16th or something like that. From there to the turnaround point. Had some bits where I felt good. The descent from Crone was good. That was a bit steeper downhill. That was good. And then you've got a long drag up and a long descent down to the turnaround point. Yeah, and I'd say it was somewhere in the teens, probably at the turnaround point. From there, I made a bit of places up from there until I was sort of back going up the final climb of Joust. So I sort of relatively steady. I stepped up the pace a bit at the turnaround point, and I sort of moved back up the field, so that the sort of at Crone, which is the climb before Joust, I was up to, I was in and around, you know, I was the top 10. And I could tell I was moving better than most because I was catching people, and it's often good to pace for, I find it, I was, there was some very high class field, both men's and women's, and I was running for the first half, I was running sort of around the third woman, and then by sort of the bottom of Crone, I was running just behind the lady who won it, briefly caught up, and then she disappeared off into the distance. But
that was, is that Emma Stewart, right? Is that right?
Yeah, Emma Stewart. She's a helped great her. Athlete, she wasn't sure which way to go, so I helped her. Maybe she just waited for me. I told her which way to her. Oh, and then she disappeared off up the mountain, and I didn't see her again.
I mean, she is excellent. She's definitely one of the best at the moment at what she's doing.
That's
some great results. So
that was good to know that, you know, I was moving up, and it's better to be moving up in the second half than moving down. It feels better.
And means you finish on a bit more of a high, like you said, which makes you feel good, certainly. Do you think you would change anything? I mean, I think the guys who were certainly were kind of the top three or so who will have qualified for the team, they weren't really names that I know. So I'm guessing they're guys who do more of the short stuff. They weren't kind of the names that we've come across, like, you know, the Ricky Wynn and Gavin Burns and those kind of people who you see feature in some of the longer stuff.
I think there's one where they do more shorter stuff. I think probably I'm a bit out of the Irish scene. I'm not in it as much as I might have been in the past, and we're a bit older, so some of the ones who might have come on the scene recently, I'm not so aware. Like, I was chatting to some of the guys at the start, they had sort of said, well, it's going to be Barry McAvoy, Enda Cloak, and Adam Cunningham, which, well, the guy I was talking to got two of the top three and three of the top five. So,
okay, right. They were
pretty well known in the
within the Irish scene.
So,
yeah. And so overall, would you change it? And were you happy with how it went? Would you go harder? Go easier?
Yeah, overall,
take a spare pair of gloves.
I think I probably would. Of course, I would change a few things. It wasn't the perfect race. I don't think anything I was going to change was going to help me win the race. It was enough, plenty of distance in between me and the top few guys. But I think I'd probably go harder at the start. I felt, while at the end, going up the last climb, I didn't feel very fresh, and I think the last climb I overtook one person and one person overtook me. But I just don't feel like, I think I was too conscious of saying don't go too hard at the start, that I probably didn't max out. And I think tied in with that was, I think if I'd started at the front, I think I would have been dragged along and sort of felt forced to run closer to the front. So I think going a bit harder at the start and backing yourself, I think we spoke about that before, that it's going to hurt, but I'll have enough to hang on,
To keep up that pace. It's hard because it's I think anything up to 50k you do have to really push. It's not like the longer stuff when you can take it a bit easier and just go on endurance, don't you?
So I think I would have done that. That's all. Some of that is, you know, it's a nice to look at a race and say, well, if I had done this, I would have gone faster. So I think there is an element of always saying, you know,
Oh, you always got to
if
do that, don't you? That's the,
you
you
know.
always, otherwise you'd retire if you didn't think you'd get any better, right? You've always got to find some excuse or something you
I
can
think
work on.
if I'd finished eight, if I'd gone out really hard and finished in the same position, I would have been saying, well, I wish I had gone out slower because then I
Exactly,
would have had more
exactly.
coming down the end of it.
Yeah.
I would also have I'm not sure about kit because the weather was mad because I did end up taking off a layer, which suggests I had too many layers, but it was also it was so very cold coming up
Yeah.
down the second time. I don't think I felt a colder wind. It was absolutely mad. I couldn't feel any of the side of my face. And for a while I couldn't see out of my right eye because there's this frozen wind in it. So I'm
It's
running down the
so
boardwalk with like one eye sort of welded shut and I can't use it.
funny, isn't it? Because obviously you live in the mountains in Switzerland, are surrounded by snow and cold, however many months of the year. But I don't think people, and like as you said, Wicklow Mountains aren't that high. But I mean, they are just wild, aren't they? Because I guess you're close to the sea, so the kind of wind comes in off the sea, and it can be so mad, that weather. I mean, obviously, we had our Wicklow round when we had ridiculously bad weather for however long, which we've spoken about before. But also, we often, if we're home at Christmas or whatever, we'll go for a run up the mountains. And I do remember that one time we parked a place called Sally Gap and just went to run up. And we were all set for like going out for a couple of hours in the mountains. Honestly, I think we lasted 20 minutes and we just returned to the car because it was just my feet were frozen. It was so cold.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre, it's a bizarre ecosystem up there in those mountains, I have to say. And then, like you saying, it's the coldest wind you've ever felt, and you live halfway up a mountain in Switzerland. It's like it's mad.
Yeah, no, it's I remember that Sally Gap one because when we made it back to the we were only out, as you say, for about 20 minutes. And we made it back and sat in the car and drove home. And I think it was 2 days later, our mom came to us and said, yeah, you know, what have you done? The car seats are absolutely soaking wet just because we're so drenched. It was as if you'd gone for a bath or something and gotten straight in the car.
It was mad. It was
Yeah,
mad.
but
So
yeah, it's because I did one race over here where which went up, you know, up over 3,000 meters, and you know, snow and stuff like that, but nothing like that.
yeah. Well, again, we had pretty ropey weather TDS. I know that was obviously a different time of year, but again, we're running in the snow up in the high mountains, and it was nowhere near as bad as my experience in Wicklow has been in the past. So, yeah.
Anyway, I think
And any, I was going to say, any other little snippets from that race that you, any other little incidents that happened, or I guess you got to meet a few folk as well, which is always good on the IMRC and the Irish
yeah,
Mountain
well,
Running Association, which is
on the
nice.
yeah, I should and there were well, a good few people who actually who I didn't get to chat to everyone mainly because the weather was so awful beforehand that you were trying to hug and afterwards after coming down Jags I was
Yeah, no
very
one's hanging
cold.
around, are they?
And our parents were there, and they're like, "Oh, do you want to wait around? We can wait around. We're in no rush." And I was like, "Can I please sit in the car? I'm just cold, just
Want to go
cold."
home.
And
Yeah.
I'd been dreaming of the car all the way down that final descent. So I didn't chat to as many people as I would have liked to, but it was still nice. I saw, yeah, a few. Who did I see? Who was out there? It was Gavin Byrne was there, so I didn't chat to him much, but I passed him on the out and back. So that was nice. Our friend from TDS, Kieran Croke, was there, though I don't think I saw him, though there was a few. Shane Kenny, who I know we've run with. Paul Tierney was there, though I didn't see him because you know well, he was running the race. And I've had a temporarily Owen Keith was there. So I had a
How was
brief
he?
hello to Owen Keith. I'm not sure he recognized me, but I said hello to him.
Good, good. And then after the race, was it a back for a cup of tea or a pint? I guess it's a cup of tea to warm up, given from what you said, rather than a pint and a cup of tea and some biscuits or Pringles or something, no doubt, right?
Well, of course, the one of the best things about out the race is that all the finishers get a mug. You none of
Yeah,
this
I
medal
remember
stuff.
that. Yeah,
You get a
get yourself
medal
a
if
mug.
you know win, which is fair enough. But if you don't win, you don't get the medal, but you do get a mug. So I got to go home and have a cup of tea in my Wicklow Way mug. So that was very nice, and have some Pringles with that.
Yeah, that was diet of champions. I think, but you know, I know you're the same. I often would kind of try to, you know, watch to some extent what I eat leading up to a race, but then I do totally, as soon as the race finishes, I definitely always give myself a day or two to eat whatever I feel like eating and go all the crap. And I think, like, you're a firm believer in that, that makes it kind of, that ebb and flow is quite nice. The old Ricky Hatton diet, right? Of like, I think, treat yourself to all the treats after a race. And I did find myself doing that a little bit after 100 Hills. And then I had to remind myself that it was only a 50K. It wasn't, I guess I'm so used to doing these, you know, mad ones that you're running for, you know, you lose a stone and a half or something doing it. And then I was thinking, yeah, no, I literally, this is just like a long weekend run. I shouldn't be then stuffing my face as a reward. But I do probably, I would say it's not the most nutritional way to recover post race, my approach to it, but I do always look forward to enjoying those few days afterwards.
I think it was slightly different for me because you were getting lined up for Snowdon, whereas I was very much going on holiday, so I was leaned fully into the crisps and chocolate and all that, and had a very good time on my holiday and ate lots of crisp sandwiches and lots of chocolate and ice cream, and yeah, probably not good, ideal, good. But yeah, enjoyable.
Yeah, and generally, like, I guess in terms of after a race and the week after a race, I mean, if you're not going on holiday, yeah, I like to eat what I can, but I also do believe in this kind of like active recovery. If I can, I try to keep moving and maybe go for a little run. I mean, again, it depends massively, doesn't it, what the race has been. I think if you've done something where you've missed a night's sleep and everything else, you kind of have to, yeah, you have to really ease yourself back in. I think if it's shorter stuff like we've both just done, I think you can kind of be back running the next week if you want, but maybe not doing it in too hard. You know, just keeping the body moving a little bit, I think, is good.
Yeah, I think that's important if you can to do some little ones. I know one of the, I can't remember what race it was in the past, but I went the next weekend, I went out and with my then girlfriend, now wife, we did a sort of 4-hour hike up the mountains, and that I felt was perfect because it was active recovery without being a run or going into the red, and it was a nice bit of movement.
Even after that longer stuff, things like walking the dog, I think, is quite a good, you know, just getting out and walking around for a bit is actually quite good, keep you moving, and try to get a bit of stretching going, a bit of mobility, and then when I can get a foam roller if needs to, if it's been one of those big mountain races where your quads and stuff are shattered. So
I think I made a mistake, not a mistake, but it was very cold afterwards, so I didn't do any stretching. And sometimes I do wonder how much the stretching makes a difference, but my calves were very sore the next few days. And so I think the stretching does make a difference. And I know it does, because when I don't stretch, I feel very bad, but you can still feel bad with the stretching, but I definitely should have stretched.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other option is in that situation where you're just absolutely ruined, is you can come home and get in a bath or have a hot shower and then stretch again when your body's kind of warmed up. I mean, it may not be quite as good as stretching immediately after, but I think you can definitely get some of the benefits doing it then as well. So I think that's, yeah, I definitely, you know, try to learn and try different things after each race depending on the difference. But I think the big thing I've had post races is not for those ones when it's you've lost sleep and you're just absolutely drained, so any of the rounds or TDS or UTMB or any of those big ones, that extra night's sleep that you've missed can be a killer. It just really, you're empty, aren't you, for a few weeks after, and actually you feel fine. I mean, I know after some of those I felt okay again to go running, and you run maybe for 20 minutes and you feel good, and then suddenly you just have no energy after like 20 minutes. There's just nothing there, and
Yeah.
you just realize you have to wait quite a few weeks to top up the tank again. And
Yeah.
so that's something that certainly in terms of when I was planning out my year this year, maybe more than other years, I had, okay, well, I'll do the 100 hills 50K in whatever it was, March, UTS 100K in May, and then go hopefully go out to Chamonix again to do the big race out there in end of August. And that felt like a good flow, because even with UTS, don't really lose a full night's sleep. You know, I have to get an early start. I think it's a 5 a.m. start or something, so you don't get much sleep the night before, but then hopefully you're done, you know, to get a few hours that night. And so it's not too bad recovery wise. But I think if you've something in the middle of your season, certainly one of those years when we've Paddy Buckley and stuff in there in the middle of the season, I think that makes it hard then, because I think you do need to give yourself a few weeks to recover from that before you
Yeah.
can properly start training again. So I
Yeah.
think always thinking about that.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking is, mentally, you also might need to give yourself a bit of a break as well. Like if you've gone into the red and it feels really bad, you need to give yourself a break. Or I need myself to give myself a break before I can push myself hard, whether it's on a hill sprint or just on a normal run.
Sometimes it works the other way. You come back and you actually, if you've had a good race, you actually feel more enthused and ready to, I find anyway, ready to get really stuck into that. You know, you come back, you're really eager to get going again because you've had a good result, or you think a race has gone well and you're like, oh, I want to do more, I want to do more. And sometimes I find maybe go a little bit too hard too soon, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Although one of the things I'm definitely kind of learning in terms of, again, I think, you know, this year I started working a bit harder, a bit earlier in the year and stuff. And I'm not sure that's beneficial. I think you can plateau at a level for quite a while. I think to your point about being mentally ready, I think, you know, almost sort of 3 months, I feel, is like a great block to build. If you keep a base level and then have a 3 month block up to something, where you build, 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 that feels about right, because I don't think you can maintain going hard for that long. Like, to your point, I think mentally you get tired if every week you're going out and really pushing yourself 2 or 3 times a week in certain sessions. And you know, I do think you need to kind of ease off for a bit and then build back up again, rather than trying to keep it at a really high level for a long time. And I feel that's something that maybe I got a little bit wrong in previous times, and maybe even this time around, I feel like I've been maybe plateauing a little. You know, you build, 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 and then maybe you plateau a bit. I don't know,
Yeah,
one to keep
well,
an eye on, but.
that's, like if you're a professional athlete, which I'm not, they also have
Thanks for
seasons and off
clarifying.
season. You don't have people will often say, oh, it's the start of their season. It's not that they're always like that. And then
Yeah.
they have off seasons where they go slower and then they build back up again.
Yeah. And I feel it's like, you know, using an analogy. I mean, I mentioned Ricky Hatton earlier, but that whole idea of you go into a training camp for a big thing, right? And obviously you want to maintain a general base level when you're not doing that, but you know, you're not in that training camp all the time, are you, in that kind of sport? And you know, the engines that those guys can, boxers and stuff, can build up is incredible, but they do it in probably a 3 month training camp, a 4 month training camp. You know, it's not more
Yeah.
than that. So, you know, I think that there's definitely something to be taken from that. And just in terms of, you know, we were saying both of them at the start of this, I think both of them, I feel like I've had a cold for about 3 weeks. And again, that is part of, you know, you wear yourself down. You know, you don't give your body a chance to maybe just recover from little niggles and things like that as well, which and then you run a little bit injured and then it never quite gets right. You know, there's lots of cases of that as well. So
Yeah, and you want to keep it at a level which is fun, but at the same time, I think whatever you're training for, whether you're sort of Olympic athlete or whether you're training for a 6 hour marathon or whatever you're trying to do, you want to be training at, I would say, towards the end of your training block at a level which is probably uncomfortable, so you can max out. And I know for for me, when I've done the best, and felt the best, I've done like a training block, which towards the end has been maybe not that much fun because you're pushing yourself a bit harder than you'd like to. But yeah, it means max out your ability. But it's not fun to do that all the time.
No, exactly. And you need to have some fun in there too, don't you? That's for sure.
And
so.
And I definitely am enjoying this. And I was saying this beforehand when I was talking to my wife about it. I was saying, you know, I'm looking forward to not training again. Like I'm still, I'm back now from holiday. I'll probably go out 4 times this week. But I'm going to go out and have a fun run. Now, some of that is... some of that is just pottering about, but some of that might be, you know what, I'm going to try and run up this hill as fast as possible or run down this hill as fast as possible. And when you're doing a training block, you can get into that thing where you're not necessarily doing what's fun. You're doing what you should be doing. And training doesn't involve sprinting up and down this hill and then having to go for a walk for the next 40 minutes or something like that. You probably actually have a plan and a structure, which is not always conducive with fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was, you know, when I was away last week, that was very much my attitude was actually, I've been training, let's go and just enjoy some time in the mountains because I don't live near mountains. So actually to get out on somewhere different and run up some, you know, bigger stuff as well was good fun and practice my descents a little bit, and that's all fun. It's probably not as beneficial as doing a hill sprint or far leg session or whatever else, but it was good. It was enjoyable, and change of scene I think was good. So so what is next for you? What's on the agenda? When do you start kind of doing some non-fun runs again, or what's the plan?
I'm gonna keep it fun for the foreseeable future. I'm definitely enjoying that. Well, we're gonna do CCC at the end of August. Now, before that, so we'll do a proper training plan for that, and we'll do as you say, we'll do some non-fun runs in the training there. But I think I have one race which I'm signed up for. I was invited back because not last year, the year before I came third. So they invited me back. So that's a free entry race here in Switzerland. That's start of May. So I'm going to do that. So I'll try and keep ticking over for that. But I'm trying to run a chunk to get ready. So I'm trying to be in a reasonable shape for that. And then there's another race in July, about 14th of July, which I did 2 years ago, which is a lot of fun. It's only like, I think it's 30K, but it's a no-nonsense Swiss 30K. It has something like, I don't know, I need to check up what it is. But it's straight up for 15K and then straight down for 15K. And it's lovely. Real, yeah. Good fun. So I'm going to probably try and do that at the race. There is the Montreux, I haven't looked into it, but there's the Montreux Trail Festival, which is a big trail festival in Switzerland. And that you get a lot of the big runners in there, a lot of the guys who might be doing UTMB, the front end of that. I might look at doing some of that. They have it's like a UTMB where there's a 30K, 50K and 80K and 100 and something K. So I might look at that, but in general I'm going to try and
plenty of options.
Switzerland's great for running. They're the big races you can really only do in sort of July and August, which because they have snow the rest of the time, but shorter ones
Maybe get out for a couple of course recces for CCC as well, I guess, would be nice if you can. It's not a million miles away from you. Certainly the second half of that course is not a million miles from you, from kind of what's the lake? I should remember this, but I can't. Champagne Loch, about halfway. So that's not too far from you, is it? So you can get out and recce some of that, which would be good.
I will try and do that. Enjoy my running. Spring is gonna come soon, so I'm gonna
excellent stuff. I have no idea what we're gonna call this episode. other than random chatting. But I'm sure we'll find something to put a little bit of structure into it. But we hope you've enjoyed it. If you were part of the Morris Mullins race, let us know how it went for you. It sounds like it was pretty atrocious weather out there. Congrats to the winner, who was.
Was it Endicloak or Endicloak? I think no, Barry McAvoy. Sorry, Barry
Right.
McAvoy. Endicloak was third. We had Barry McAvoy. Yeah,
And the
fast.
women's winner was Emma Stewart, as we mentioned as well.
Yeah.
I think she did UTS last year. I don't know if she's doing it this year. I think she might have. She definitely placed quite high in that. But she's had some great results. So.
I think she won UTS or whichever race she did. I saw because I was looking at her, I don't know, her Strava or something, because I wasn't sure who she was during the race. And it had a picture of her crossing a finish line with Tour de Snowdonia and the ribbon. So either she stole the ribbon or she won the race. And
I'm pretty sure she
I'd
did
say
it.
she won the race. So.
Pretty sure she did it legit. So yeah, congrats to them. And yeah, we'll be keeping an eye, a keen eye on how they all go for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And as ever, yes, thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying it. We're enjoying seeing the various views and comments and things come in. So thank you for the support with the podcast. If you do get a chance to like, subscribe, or comment and share and let people know about it, that would be great. And we should be back again in a couple of weeks with another episode and hopefully maybe a bit more structured than this one, although I have enjoyed our chat, Kev. So thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon.
I have also enjoyed that today I didn't sound like a chipmunk. So, apologies for the episode where I did sound like a chipmunk. It was technical difficulties. It was
Not
not
an
me.
impersonation. Yeah.
It was not me trying to be Alvin or someone from the Chipmunks.
Good, good. All right. Well, enjoy your time on the trails, and we'll speak to you all soon. Bye.
Take care.